Good morning. I consider it an awesome privilege to have been invited to speak to you this morning. Your pastor and I go way back. In 1988, I entered the Jamaica Theological Seminary, and he was already a student there. And we have journeyed ever since that time as friends. He is the godfather of my youngest daughter, and Sharon and Patrick really holds a very special place in our heart. This morning I have with me my armor bearer, my only son, Andrew Jr., and he has been the only one to take on the challenge this morning to travel with Dad on this mission. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5. And please permit me to read from a personal translation of the Greek New Testament. And he came in on the other side of the sea, in the country of Gerasene. And after he had come out of the boat, immediately a man with an unclean spirit from among the tombs came out to meet him. A man who was dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him any longer, not even with chains, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains and tear from him the chains and the shackles, breaking them into pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. And continually, night and day, among the tombs and among the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And after seeing Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And after crying with a loud voice, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of God, the Most High? I'm imploring you, God, not to torment me." For he began to say to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." And he began to ask him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, because we are many." And he began to beseech him much that he not send them outside the country. But there was towards the mountain a large herd of pigs feeding. And they beseech him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, that into them we may enter." And he permitted them, and after the unclean spirits went out, they went into the pigs. And the herd rushed down from the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000. And they began to choke into the sea. And the ones feeding them fled and reported into the city and into the fields. And they came to see what was happening. And they came and saw Jesus and looked at the man being demonized, sitting, being clothed, and of sound mind, the one who have had the legions. And they were afraid. And the ones who had seen for themselves related fully how it had happened to the demon-possessed man concerning the pigs. And they began to urge him to go away from their region. And while he was embarking into the boat, the one who had been demon-possessed begged him that he may go with him. And he did not permit him. But he said to him, "Go into the house, to your house, to your people and report to them as much as the Lord has done to you and had mercy on you. And he departed and began to preach in the Decapolis how much Jesus did to him, and all marveled. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story before us is one that is viewed with much skepticism, and one that many have seemingly misinterpreted. There are several versions of this experience. Some people tend to avoid it. But upon a trek that I had through the scriptures, on looking at how God sees people, and looking at what I believe God would have us to see and to do as his people among our in community, I was challenged to look again at this text and to make applicable the principles of the text to my own community. When I was asked to come to share with you, I was led to go back to this text. As I read the text, 1 John 2 and verse 6 came to mind. Whoever claims to live in him, in him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. If we are going to be good Christians, then we should be obeying this text. Walk as Jesus did. Now, how did Jesus walk? And this text gave us a little hint of how Jesus treated people and how he treated community. I would like us to observe three main points as we consider how Jesus treated this situation. The situation before us is quite interesting, and the background has its antecedent in verse 35 of chapter 4. The text says that he came into the boat and was going to go from one end of Galilee to the next end, could have been about 18 miles, and I have been on the Sea of Galilee and saw how this could be possible. Actually, it is really a large lake. And even when I traveled the length of the Sea of Galilee, I sensed the potential, because of the way it is geographically located, for storms to easily arise. What happened is that a storm broke out in the night, and they were there on that lake in that experience. They made it across to the other side to a place called Gerasim. Now, Gerasim was a Gentile territory and was seemingly very much avoided by Jewish people. Which brings us to our first point. The first thing I would like us to see from this text is that, like Jesus, we must be willing to cross over boundaries and barriers, reaching out to those who are in need. The tendency for many Christians is to be in their own comfort zone. But the way the gospel is orchestrated, it was orchestrated to go across barriers and boundaries. Make disciples of all nations. And that text is translated truly, make disciples of all ethnic groups, beginning in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in the utmost part of the world. Jesus went over to the gatherings. Now, from the text, it did not say why he went to the gatherings. In fact, we can deduce from the text that Jesus went to the gatherings because somehow he had a mission to this region. And the end of the text gives it away somewhat. Why would Jesus go to a place that was often avoided by his culture? Why would Jesus go to a place having foreknowledge, knowing that he would have been harassed by demons? I submit to you, it is because of love. It is because of the God who cares about people, who cares about humanity. And Jesus determined that he was going to go across culture, across all sorts of barriers to meet this man where he was. I wonder how much of church is really like Jesus. Have we come to that place where we are willing to go across the grain of society and the status quo of life to ensure that we carry out the program of God? Jesus did. And if we are Jesus' people, we should. One of the things about the Gadarenes is that on the Sea of Galilee, you can see the mountains. And in those mountains, there were tombs. Graveyards were not like what we have them to be today. There were literally rocks that were hewn. There were dugouts. And you will just slip the bodies in. And all of that region was covered with tombs. The thing about tombs is that Jews have nothing to do with dead people because it makes them unclean. But Jesus went there. Are there some places that the Lord may be leading you to go, to serve, to love, to reach in his name? The second thing from this text that I would like us to see, it says in verse 1 that he came into the other side of the sea in the country of the Gerasenes. And after he came out of the boat, immediately a man met him. Man with an unclean spirit from among the tombs came out to meet him. I want us to see that not only are we called to cross boundaries, but like Jesus, we must be willing to confront those who rival the program of God. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild is true. But when you observe Jesus, many times Jesus was indeed confrontational because of the program of God. The tendency for us is to shy away, even when we know we are doing God's will. But Jesus did not. Confrontation in the name of Christ is not a bad thing. Take, for instance, the turning of the tables in the temple. Some people would like to hide that Jesus, because he's not politically correct. He must be a good boy. But not so. There are some things that are an affront to God, and God's people are called to stand for what is right. If we are going to be like Jesus, there are some things we should be willing to confront. The Bible says that this man met him. And the Greek word there is very interesting. It's upantaho. It means it has the connotation of standing in opposition. So it was not that the man came and was being nice, but the man came and was being oppositional. There are several rivals that appear in this text that comes out to us that we should be careful of, even in our own Christian walk and our Christian journey. The first rival were the demons. I want us to define demons here as unclean spirits, according to how it is written. Jehoiakim Jeremias, in his book on New Testament theology, called this the proclamation of Jesus, and he emphasizes Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Mark as overcoming the rule of Satan. He says the Gospel of Mark depicts Jesus' exorcism as battles. And I want us, even in our own understanding of spirit and the spiritual warfare, the Satan is real. And he continues to oppose the church. Jeremiah gives preeminence to Jesus' dramatic personal separation from the contemporary Jewish view of demons, which saw them as individual beings, in one sense, operating on their own. Thus, their detailed list of names of demons. Jeremiah notes that Jesus changed all that. He stressed the connection between the appearance of demons and Satan. He expressed this connection with a variety of pictures. Satan appears as a commander of military force in Luke 10 and verse 19. Next, he's seen as ruling over kingdoms in Matthew 12 and verse 26. The demons are his soldiers in Mark 5 and verse 9. He is the master of the house, and the demons are his servant. Now, what can we learn from this text about unclean spirits as opposition? Number one, they are destructive. So we already agree they are real, and they exist. They are destructive in the sense that they lead people into isolation. Have you ever known circumstances in which people don't want to be with family? Teens, for example, they reject mom, they reject dad. Isolation. One of the first approaches of the enemy is to get people out of their system of care and encouragement. They go and run with a crowd like packs of wolves. They are destructive in that not only do these demons cause isolation, but they also cause dehumanization. In this context, the man had superhuman strength. They would bind him with chains, and he would break the chains. No one could subdue him. Not only is there superhuman strength in that there is dehumanized, but there's also a self-destructive nature. You know when the enemy is at work, when people take drugs, when people do things to themselves that is just not right. The enemy is at work. And there is also a sense of hopelessness. No hope. That's satanic. And Jesus confronted that. The other thing I want us to see from this is that they were subjected. The Bible says that when Jesus appeared on the island, they ran to him. And they bowed to him. And it reminds us as God's people that Satan is subjected not only to the Lord, but to us. Because the Bible says, all power is given unto me, therefore having gone, make disciples. Hello? Sometimes we are afraid. But God has empowered us. The Bible said he ran and he worshipped. He moved forward towards God, the Lord, and he worshipped. The sense is that he bowed down. The word there that is used is meaning to bow down, to fall prostrate. It means in New Testament context to bow down and kiss someone's feet. They were subjected to him. But not only were they subjected in that he ran and worshipped, the demons feared punishment. Amen. Are you going to punish us? One commentator quipped that it is interesting how the demon did not want to be tormented, but they had spent almost a lifetime tormenting this poor man. There was a recognition of the authority of Jesus as God, and the text states that explicitly in the way it is translated. Are you going to do so and so to us, God? We must understand. Jesus has power, and everything is subjected to him. There's absolute authority. Jesus rebuked the demons to come out of the man. Brothers and sisters, I will have us to note that we need not cower in the face of evil. And many times, bad things happen in community because good people do nothing. Or better yet, God's people do nothing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know the story of Nazi Germany? It is said that the German church sat back and watched. I wonder what it would have been like if that church had risen up against Adolf Hitler and face that evil with courage and in confrontation. The second rival was community itself. According to Ed Murphy, an authority on spiritual warfare, some cure may cause chaos. Jesus came to this community. Here was this dehumanized man. Here was this man who was in hopelessness. So here was this man that was beaten down, crushed, crazy. You would think that when Jesus came to this man and brought hope and deliverance, that community would celebrate. No. Mark seemed to suggest that Jesus, in Jesus' mind, the liberation of this man was more important than 2,000 pigs. The community, however, differed vehemently. Pigs were more important than people. Before we judge them harshly, let us be careful. Because sometimes one gets the feeling that people, we are more concerned, even in our day, about commerce than we are concerned about community. And that was what this was about. The Bible says that the demons were terrified. They asked to go into the pigs. Jesus sent them into the pigs. The pigs went down and they were killed. You would think that the deliverance of this man would have brought, brought some form of joy to the people. But they were angry because now their pig of business was in trouble. They were upset. The social, spiritual, and psychological need of this man was not the priority of community. And church, we must be careful that we do not become a part of the status quo that takes care of things more than people. Because God loves people. The community lacked compassion. They lacked care. They valued profit more than they valued people. The text states that they came to Jesus, and when they came to Jesus, they saw the man sitting and clothed and the sane. And their response was fear and rejection. Jesus was asked to leave. We must be careful that we are not a part of that. When we look in our community, we must look with a sense of compassion. We must look with a sense of care, even if it goes against the Chamber of Commerce. Because people are more important than profit. The last thing I'll have us to see from this text is that, like Jesus, we must be willing to challenge ourselves and those who are transformed through our witness to testify to the work of God in human lives. Within their own context. Not only are we called to go across boundaries. Not only are we challenged as God's people to confront rivals. But we are called to challenge ourselves and those whom we change. To testify to the power of God. One of the problems with the church is that we do not tell people about what God has done for us. People can always gainsay what the church is about and what God is about, but they cannot gainsay our testimony. You know, one day Jesus did so and so. That's your experience. So, the Bible says that when the people came back, they were upset. They asked Jesus to leave. While Jesus was leaving, the man that was delivered decided to follow. And Jesus stopped him. What? I thought I was supposed to follow you. You see, we have to resist the urge to believe that after God liberates, He wants us to abandon one's social context. While social mobility is good, there are times when God intends for us to challenge young disciples to bring change where they are. We are called to make change in our own communities, where God has placed us. The Bible says the man begged, perikalele, or kale. He begged Jesus, please let me go with you. These people don't like me. I am hated in this community. They are going to... And Jesus said, no. You need to go home. Funny that he sent him home. Maybe because he was alienated, isolated. Weist comments that some interpreters construe that the man may have been afraid that the demons would have come back. It could also be conjectured that he was afraid because he was afraid of the people in the neighborhood. Either way, the Bible says that Jesus did not permit him. He was not allowed. But in response to him, Jesus says, go into your house. Upage estan oikonsu. Go into the house of yours. Restore, be restored to your family. Be restored to your community. Bring back the good news of Christ. That's how Jesus lived. The word to tell or to inform is very significant in this text. It says, go into your house to your people and report to them as much as the Lord has done to you and had mercy on you. It means to announce with possible focus on the source of information. Tell about Jesus. That is what we are called to do. That is what Jesus is challenging us to do. Can I ask a question? How many of us really tell people about what God has done? Share the mercy of God, the love of God. Show kindness. You know what is funny? The Bible says that the man obeyed. The man turned around. He went back into the Decapolis. And he began to preach. He began to tell people. And the people, the Bible says, the people marveled. They marveled. All marvel. Is this the crazy guy from among the tombs? Oh, yes, he did. What happened? He met Jesus. Can I tell you? There is still power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is still able to transform people's life. However far gone they are, there can be no one who is so far gone that Jesus cannot transform them. But we must be willing to cross over the boundaries, whatever they are, social, economical, whatever the boundaries, we must be willing to cross over the boundaries. We must be willing to confront the issues that will challenge us in community to say, no, you cannot help people. We must be willing to take information and to share with people. The God of love that we serve. And I believe that this church, if we should live like Jesus in this regard, Lafayette will never be the same. Because the power of God will change it. Amen.